Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm excited to announce today's guest, Asif Chipa. Asif is the newly appointed Managing Director at First Pathway Partners, whose territories cover India and the Middle East. Asif brings over 13 years of experience in business development and investor relations, promoting citizenship by investment programs such as the EB-5 Regional Center Program. He is very well-versed in the EB-5 industry as both an agent and as a fully redeemed EB-5 investor himself. In today's episode, Asif will be sharing his success story and journey of the EB-5 program. Let's get into it. Asif, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me over here.
It's so great to have you on. So I've already given our audience a brief background of yourself and your involvement with the EB-5 program, but we would love to hear more about yourself and your journey through the program and what investment opportunities and services First Pathway Partners can offer to anyone looking to immigrate to the United States.
Well, thank you very much, first of all, once again. And the most important thing that my journey all started back in 2010 when I came first time in the United States on my visitor visa. So at that time, I realized, okay, yeah, this is the country where I would just want to be in for my future point of view as well as my future generation, my kids. Right. So at that time, you know, I just never knew that there is a program called EB-5. But then, you know, one of my friends just told me that, you know, there is an opportunity in the form of EB-5. You have to go for the investment of $500,000 in an appropriate project, and that should be government-recognized regional center. So in 2012... actually, I started to, you know, look for the, you know, different aspects of the EB-5, and I digged into more and more, and because I had, you know, my, you know, the visitor visa with me, so I can, you know, I could come over again and had some meeting with regional centers and attorneys.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you start looking into regional centers?
Well, honestly speaking, at that time, I'm absolutely a hardcore new investor, know nothing about it. So, you know, I just took the help of Google, the best EB-5 regional center in New York City. So I came across a few names and, you know, I decided to go over them and, you know, try to call them from India and try to fix a meeting or, you know, appointment and schedule an appointment, something with the attorneys as well. So I came across a few names, and that's how I, you know, it was a random pick, honestly speaking. But then after taking the decision, right, when I came here, then I realized, okay, this is about something that your money has to be at risk. That means if the project is not an appropriate one or the regional center is not the appropriate one, then there is a chance that you may lose your entire $500,000 chunk. And that's an absolutely not the thing that I wanted to do. So what I've decided then, okay, I have to learn, first of all, the entire thing. Then it took me like 1.5 years of entire research. Mm-hmm. What should be the criteria of choosing the right regional center? What should be the criteria of choosing the right project? Sometimes regional centers are fantastic, but that is not all. You have to look into the project individually as well, because the project's feasibility as well as viability is very important. So over the period of time, I was making more and more research, and I was just looking into it more in a deeper way. So I realized, okay, this is how I need to, you know, go and follow the process. And finally, I just, you know, took the decision back in 2015 and started doing the source of fund document by myself. Of course, attorney was one of the greatest help. But again, as if you are in Indian background and the source of fund over there, it's going to be great difficulty because Indian having, you know, white plus black, both economy over there, right? So you need to take care of each and every aspect according to the USCIS. So, yeah. So over the period of time, it took me like, after subscribing the document with the regional center, it took me like 3 or 4 months by, you know, managing my all documents. And successfully, I just, you know, applied in 2016, June. So, yeah, it took me like 19 months to get my I-526 approval, though I've gotten a small RFE, of course, but that was taken care of by the attorney. Okay. And it took me like 6 or 7 more months for my consulate process. And that was straightforward process because, thank God, I had no any wrong background or any overstay history or any bad history in the United States. So it took me, you know, 7 months for the approval. And once I got the approval and my visa, I entered in this beautiful country with a lot of dreams in my mind.
So, you know, what kind of advice would you have for someone who's just kind of starting the process and looking to start planning?
The most important thing, as I said earlier, first of all, the careful selection of the regional center. Now, the careful selection of regional center means if a regional center is new, that doesn't mean it's a bad regional center. Of course not. But again, you need to see the track record of the regional center, how many projects they have done so far and how many are successful they have, you know, finished the projects and how many of them are repaid in appropriate time. So that is one of the, you know, key factor in order to select the regional center. Now, once you have decided that I'm going to go with this regional center, then the very important thing is the careful selection of the project. As I mentioned earlier, the good regional center may have the, you know, project which is not an appropriate one. So the most important thing that you need to do a due diligence by yourself. Of course, people are, you know, hiring some professionals to do the due diligence. But if I were the investor, and I was the investor, so mm-hmm. I would suggest the first very important due diligence will be done and should be done by you only, right? And that is a specific theory that I have got my own theory, and this is exactly what I've been explaining to my investors, that no matter if you're talking to me and if I'm going to recommend you a project, no. Again, you don't have to believe me. You don't have to listen to me at all. You have got the project with you. You need to go for the careful analysis on that. And I used to explain a 4P theory. Usually it's a 7P theory in the marketing department. But, you know, mm-hmm. I have, you know, explored the 4P theory. The first P is going to be the product. Product means what actually is the project is all about. Is it a condominium or a real estate project? Or what sort of, the product of this particular project? Second P is going to be people. Now, people, again, regional center is one of the key factor, but again, regional center is not the one who is going to develop the project. It's developer who is going to develop mm-hmm. the project. So you need to find out more about, you know, in detail, the history and background of the developers and what they have done so far in EB5 and non-EB5 industry and construction as well as infrastructure industry. Third P is going to be the place. Now, the place is a very important thing, because whatever the project you are putting into your money, you need to understand whether the project is how the project is going to be, you know, creating the revenue. Revenue, that's the more important thing, because on the basis of the revenue, in future, you're going to get back, you find $1,000 or $900,000 back. And that's what at the time of the calculation was going on. So place is pretty important. And let me give you a small example of that. If any particular regional center and developer is, building a condominium apartment, mm-hmm. so if it is in the middle of the, you know, desert, so it's not going to work, because who's going to buy the apartment? So location is going to be the very important key factor, because the project needs to be viable and feasible in order to, you know, create the revenue in future, right? So your money is going to be deployed in the development of the project, but ultimately that project needs to be sold out, or they have got a nice different exit strategy mm-hmm. in order to, you know, you will be able to find out. And the fourth is the promotion. Now, the promotion is just a key factor, but if you get the right combination of right people at the right place with the right product, definitely a promotion, it's going to be promoted in an appropriate way. So these 4P analysis that I used to, you know, explain to my clients, no matter what product I am selling to them, or no matter what product I'm trying to, you know, convince them, but if you have got 4 different product in your table, do your due diligence by yourself, and then you will be able to know what product, what project, and what regional center is good or bad for you.
Right. You know, those are really good, valid points and ways to kind of research and look into a project a little further. And then, you know, once you kind of had gone through the process and done the research, you know, what was the personal journey for you with your family?
Well, of course, it was not a small decision at all, right? Especially, you know, the kids and wife, because I've got young kids. My daughter is 13 and my son is 9. So at the time when I came here back like 2 years ago, so it was a tough decision, of course. And mm-hmm. the cultural difference between India and United States is huge, right? In India, we used to have a combined family. Over here, you all the way by yourself, and you know, you're raising the kids by yourself. Over there, we got to have your grandfather, grandmother. Everyone is going to be there, so that's going to be the huge difference. Yeah, the journey was fantastic so far. The reason I'm telling you it's fantastic, ultimately, the main goal of any EB-5 investor is 3 points that I always tell my investor to take care of that. Number one, to get your conditional green card. That will be depending upon your source of fund. Number two, you should get your investment back, and that is depending upon, again, the successful completion and the revenue generation mm-hmm. of the project. And number three, your conditional green card should get converted into the permanent green card. Again, that depends during the job creation, right? During the construction of the project, the, whatever the job is created, right. So we need to have the 10 jobs per investor.
Right.
So it is very important. Other than these three factors, I believe and I recommend strongly, you are not looking at the returns. You should not looking at the returns because you are not here for the return on investment.
Right, the investment is the permanent residency.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you are supposed to concentrate only on your green card and your safety of your capital. If, trust me, if you're going to look for the returns, there are multiple other ways to get your returns back, but that thing is not going to get you your green card. And always the basic finance rule, high risk, high returns. You're not looking for, you're just looking, of course, the money has to be at the risk, but that risk has to be a calculated risk, right? So this is the most important factor.
Right.
So my journey so far, the reason I'm telling you it's a fantastic journey because not only successfully I got my green card for myself and my family, but, over the period of time, everything went well. Job has been created. I successfully applied for my 829. I fulfilled the entire condition of USCIS, and I was eligible to have my money back, and I successfully got it back without any problem. So that's what the most important factor is.
And I think that's what we wanted to share on today's podcast is, the fact that you personally have gone through this experience and this journey, and you have the advice and the wisdom of, what the right steps are, how this process kind of can be laid out, some of the ups and downs, the ins and outs. And so, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us.
This is a passion for me. This is never a job for me. This is something, a passion. The reason I'm telling you the passion is when you have done something by yourself, right? And when you're sharing your views, your expertise and your knowledge and your experience to someone who can, who is about to pursue the dream of United States or your EB-5 journey, that is nothing more than job satisfaction, better than that, right? So as far as my traveling plan is concerned, yes, anytime soon, right, in future, and I'm just looking forward to do so. The most important things, because as now we have seen some dramatic changes in the industry, because right. The amount has gone up from $500,000 to $900,000. Honestly speaking, that's not a hurting part for me. The hurting part is the COVID situation.
Right, but traveling.
That, yeah, mm-hmm. Not only traveling, it's about the basic things, the HNI investor, everyone is struggling because of the, COVID situation. Even the HNI clients, it will be very difficult for them, to manage the funds in the near future. But I'm quite hopeful, and I'm pretty hopeful about that the things will be back on track pretty soon, right? And we're going to see the, flourishing EB-5 industry once again in future. And, I am very excited, for this wonderful opportunity given by FPP. So, I'm just willing to go back to the field and do the best thing that I can do it for the FPP.
Great. Well, how can someone get in touch with you if they're looking to reach out?
Absolutely. FPP is now the best platform, right? And I've got all the contact details through FPP, right? I'm absolutely available on my cell phone, email, WhatsApp, right? And now mode of communication is absolutely better and better. So every time if someone is, want me at the Zoom meeting, I can schedule that. And, we can go for the live video calling at WhatsApp. We can communicate via email, phone. So, thousands of communication modes are now available right now. So I'm all available. And I'm available 24/7 for my clients.
Well, perfect. Well, Asif, thank you so much for your time today. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you would like to know more about First Pathway Partners and how to get in touch with Asif Chipa, you can contact them directly online at www.firstpathway.com.
And thank you very much. And thank you once again for having me over here. And I'm happy to, share all my EB-5 journey experience with all my potential clients. So let me know.
If you would like to know more about First Pathway Partners and how they can help you with a direct EB-5 investment, or if you're looking for other visa opportunities such as an E-2 visa, please contact them directly online at www.firstpathway.com. If you would like to be featured on an upcoming podcast, please contact us by calling 414-431-0742. Please note this podcast is not intended to replace direct legal consultation, nor should it, but it should provide you with some insight from our community of immigration experts. I hope you've enjoyed today's show.